I'm going to be speaking to you on this subject, a heart right with God. A heart right with God. Now, in the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 21, we read these words, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God." What's the background of this statement? Well, Philip had gone down into Samaria to preach, and God sent a great revival. And there was a man called Simon Magus who heard Peter, or rather Philip, preach. And the scripture says he believed the gospel. And he was baptized, and he identified himself with the disciples and with the other believers. Simon Magus believed, and he was baptized, and he joined himself to the disciples and to the other believers. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard about this great revival in Samaria and that many Gentiles had believed the gospel, they sent Peter and John down to Samaria to visit with these people. And when Peter and John came down to Samaria, they prayed for these Gentiles and laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit like the Jews did at Pentecost. Now, when Simon Magus, who had heard Philip preach and had believed the gospel that Philip preached, or the scripture said he believed the gospel and was baptized, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles that these Gentiles received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he offered Peter money. And he said, "I'll give you money if you'll give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he shall receive the Holy Ghost." And Peter looked at him and he said, "Thou art in the gall of bitterness. Thy money perish with thee, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." And that's when Peter said, "Your heart is not right with God. You don't have any part in this matter. You don't have any part in the kingdom of God. Your heart is not right in the sight of God." And even though you are identified with the apostles, and you are a companion of other believers, and you are a professed believer in the doctrine, and you, even though you have been baptized, your heart not being right in the sight of God means that you have no part nor lot in this matter. My friends, a relationship with God is more than an outward profession. It's more than an act of baptism. It's more than submission to ceremony. A relationship with God, salvation, is a heart work. It's a work that is performed in the heart. It's a heart relationship with God. Listen to these scriptures. Over in 1 Samuel 16:7, the scripture says, "God seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Listen to this scripture from Ezekiel. God said, "Behold, I will put my spirit within you. I will write my laws within you, and I will give you a new heart." And then the wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's where the issues of life are decided, not with the feet or the hands or even the lips or an act of the body, but the heart. That's where it's all decided. There's where the issues of life take place. And then in Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, O Lord, thou wilt not despise." And then the scripture says in Psalm 34, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." So this thing, this is what Peter is saying to this man, Simon Magus. Your heart's not right with God. Now, you may have all the outward signs of religion. You may have all the outward professions of religion. You may have gone through the motions and even submitted to the ordinances. But when your heart's not right with God, you don't have any part in the kingdom of God. For my friends, conviction is a heart work.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it is said of the people at Pentecost when Peter preached to them that they were pricked in their hearts. That's where God did the work of conviction. It was done in the heart. Now, it's one thing to know by reading that vinegar is sour or by hearing someone tell you that it's sour. It's quite another thing to taste it and to know by experience that it's sour. And this is the thing about conviction of sin. It's one thing to read about it or to hear someone tell about it or hear someone preach about it. It's quite another thing to be so convicted of sin that you feel your sins and that you taste them and that you grieve over them and mourn over them and weep over them in your heart. To know by experience, as Paul said, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In Matthew 15, verse 17 and 18, our Lord said, it's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man. We can't confine sin to outward acts or manners or actions or deeds or even words. He says, that which defiles us is that which comes out of our hearts. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, hatred, adulteries, blasphemy. All of these things come out of the heart. That's where this thing of conviction, real conviction of sin, takes place in the heart. And then faith is a heart work. The scripture said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith is a heart work. Our Lord said in Luke 16, 15, I wish you'd turn to that in your Bibles. You have a Bible there by your television or there by the chair where you're sitting. Turn to Luke 16, 15 and read what the Lord said to those people. In Luke 16, 15, he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. And that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Now you think about that. Faith is a heart work. That's where the work of conviction and the work of revelation and the work of understanding and the work of believing is performed. It's done in the heart. You can walk down all the aisles of all the churches and tent meetings and evangelistic services in this country. You can make professions of faith till you grow old. You can be baptized a dozen times. You can be confirmed and christened and sprinkled and all of these things. But if your heart's not right with God, you have no part nor lot in this matter. That's what Peter said. For faith is a heart work. And then I'll tell you something else. Worship is a heart work. That's where worship takes place, in the heart. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, well did Isaiah write concerning you people. He said, these people draw nigh unto me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Have you ever been guilty of that? Singing a hymn, or maybe praying a prayer, or maybe preaching a sermon, and your heart was no more in communion with God. Your heart was no more in fellowship with God. Your mind was off somewhere else. Well, now that's not worship. Worship is a heart work. Actually, you can worship God and not say a word, and not sing a hymn, or not sing a psalm, or not even take part in any outward ceremony. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Worship's a heart work. And I'm afraid, really, that we put too much importance on words in this matter of worship. Somebody's always got to be saying something or making an announcement or leading cheers, you know, or having a special song or some kind of entertainment. Worship is a heart work. And that's what we're talking about. Peter looked at Simon and he said, Simon, you've heard Philip preach and you've made an outward profession and you've been baptized and you've lined yourself up with this group of believers, but your heart's not right with God. And when your heart's not right with God, you're in the gall of bitterness, and you have no part nor lot in this matter. Cleanse first. You know, our Lord said to the religious men of his day, they got all cleaned up outwardly so they would appear religious and appear pious and appear holy to people who saw them. They bragged about their holiness and bragged about their prayers and bragged about their fasting and all these other things. And Christ said, "You appear beautiful unto me and on the outside, but on the inside you're full of corruption, hypocrisy, and excess." Now he said, "Cleanse first that which is within, that the outward might be cleansed also." Where does it start? It starts in the heart. It doesn't start with the outward flesh. It starts in the heart. And when the heart is right with God, the rest will be okay. If you're right with God, you're right with everybody else. And if you're wrong with God, you're wrong all the way. Now here are four things that I want us to think about in the message today. First of all, a heart right with God is above in importance all things. And then secondly, heart worship is so important that outward form without heart worship is an abomination to God. That's how important it is. It's so important that religious form without a genuine sincerity of heart, God despises it. And we'll show you something on that point in a moment that will absolutely shock you, taken from this book, God's Word. And then the third thing I want you to think about is this. Outward form, an outward form of religion, formal religion and worship, is a whole lot easier than heart work. It's a whole lot easier. And then the fourth thing we're going to deal with is this. How can I obtain a right relationship with God in the heart? Where does one get a new heart, a right heart, a regenerated heart, a single heart, a broken heart, a contrite spirit? Well, let's look at these four things. Now, will you think about them with me? Now, salvation is a heart work. This thing of relationship with God is a heart. God looks on the heart. Keep your heart out of it are the issues of life. Now, heart work is more important than anything else. There's nothing else so important as a heart right with God. It's more important than sacrifice and ceremony. Saul, King Saul of Israel, was told by the Lord to go down into the land of the Amalekites, enemies of God, enemies of Israel, and destroy the whole land, destroy everything, everybody, all the cattle, everything. Just the judgment, the wrath of God had fallen upon that evil, pagan, idolatrous nation. And God said, wipe it from the earth. Well, Saul went down there and he did, well, quite a bit of that, but he saved the king as a trophy. He brought back spoils and he brought back some sheep and oxen and lambs and all types of animals like that. And the prophet Samuel came to him and said, why did you bring back these lambs and sheep and oxen? Oh, Saul said, I brought those back to sacrifice to the Lord. And Samuel said, Saul, God is angry with thee. To obey is better than sacrifice. You see what he's saying there? A heart right with God. A heart obedient unto the Lord. A heart in tune with God. A heart in fellowship with God is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices and ceremonies we possibly can go through. And then heart worship is better than Sabbath observance. These religious Jews had their Sabbath days all fixed up. You could just take so many steps. You could do only certain things. Nothing could be done on the Sabbath day but what was permitted. What did our Lord do? Why, he walked right through the cornfield and picked corn and his disciples ate it. And then he went down and healed a man with a withered hand and healed somebody else. And the Pharisees got all upset about this. Why, you violated our Sabbath day. You violated the holy day. You violated the special day. And our Lord said, now listen, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And mercy is more important than Sabbath observance. Mercy is more important than ceremonial observance. Mercy is more important than sacrifice and ceremony. Mercy, a heart right with God. And then a heart right with God is better than study and knowledge. Now, I think we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to give ourselves to reading the word of God. It's by the word of God that we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. It's by the Word of God that we're sanctified. It's by the Word of God that we're comforted and strengthened. But my friends, listen to James in chapter 1, verse 22. To be a hearer of the Word, to be a doer of the Word, is more important than to be a hearer of the Word. In other words, to be a doer, an obedient servant of the Word of God, is more important than being just a hearer of the Word of God, a student of the Word of God, a theologian or an orthodox Christian. It's more important to put grace in practice than to sit around reading about grace all the time or talking about grace all the time. And then a heart right with God is more important than the gifts of the ministry. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of faith, different gifts. And then he says in verse 31, covet the best gifts. Covet to have the gifts of the ministry. But I'll show you, he said, something better. I'll show you a more excellent way. And that's when he begins that chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians where he says, I may speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. You see that? Love is more important than the gifts of the ministry. A heart right with God. And this heart right with God will love God with all the heart and will love our neighbors ourselves. And then this thing of a heart right with God is more important than strong faith and assurance. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13:13? Now abideth faith, hope, and love. Faith and assurance. Faith and confidence. But the greatest of these is love. Not strong faith and not strong assurance, but love. Yes, love is above all things. Now, I wouldn't disturb you or shock you or upset you, but listen to me. A heart right with God is more important than good works and morality. You read in Luke 18 how the Pharisee stood in the temple and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I tithe and fast and pray and give alms to the poor. Well, I'm not like this publican. And you know the one that was justified? It wasn't this man. It was the publican who smote upon his breast and cried in anguish and conviction and repentance, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, a heart, it's a heart work. A heart right with God is more important than anything else. And then the second thing now, religious form without heart is an abomination to God. God despises it. Now listen to this scripture in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. And here God is talking about these Israelites who had approached him with their lips and their sacrifices and their ceremonies and rituals, but whose hearts were far from him. And he said, you people, turn to Isaiah 66, verse 2 and 3. He said, you people, who do your sacrificing and all of your ceremonies, but whose hearts are not in it, to come before God without a sincere heart and without a broken heart and without a repentant heart and without a proper contrite spirit, when you kill an ox, you might as well have killed a man. That's what it says. See it right there in Isaiah 66, 2. And to sacrifice a lamb, you may as well cut off a dog's head. Now, can you imagine one of those Israelites of old coming before the tabernacle of God, the Holy of Holies, to offer a sacrifice and bringing a dog and cutting the dog's head off and putting it on the place of worship there? You say, well, they wouldn't do a thing like that. God says to come before me with a lamb without a proper spirit, you may as well cut off a dog's head. And to offer an oblation without the proper heart condition and attitude, he said, you might as well offer pig's blood. Look at that. And he said, you that burn incense. And burning incense is a type of the prayers of Jesus Christ. He said, you may as well worship an idol. That's how serious it is. You see how serious this thing is of going through the motions of playing church and playing at worship and playing at approaching God while our hearts are not in it and our hearts are not sincere and our hearts are not right with God? God says it's an abomination. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the eloquence of an angel and have not love, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have understand all mysteries and prophecies and have faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned as a martyr and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. It's an abomination to God. Heart religion is the very essence of it. An outward form without heart faith is an abomination to God. All right, the third thing. An outward form of worship and religion is a lot easier than heart work and heart worship. That's true. Let me show you that. See if this is not true. It's a lot easier to wear a symbol of submission than it is to display a spirit of submission to God. In other words, it's a whole lot easier for me to turn my collar around backwards and look like a preacher than it is down here in my heart to walk with God. It's a lot easier for me to dress in a black uniform with a big broad brim hat and look like a preacher and fold my hands this way and act like I'm pious and holy. It's one thing to wear a symbol of submission. It's another thing to have a spirit of submission. That other's easier. And then I'll tell you something else. It's easier to preach grace than to produce grace. And it's easier to preach a sovereign God than to trust a sovereign God. But which is most important? It's a whole lot easier to go to an altar than to build one in your heart. It's a whole lot easier to go running down the front of a church and fall at a wooden altar than it is to build one in your heart and weep in your heart and grieve in your heart and repent in your heart and believe in your heart and love God with your heart. God looks on the heart. And then it's a whole lot easier to argue doctrine than it is to live by that doctrine. And it's a whole lot easier to give my money than to give myself. That's a lot easier. I can send my money down to the church, you know, pay my pledge. That's a whole lot easier than giving myself. It's a whole lot easier to wear a cross than it is to carry one. It's a whole lot easier to send missionaries than to be one. It's a whole lot easier to tell others that we ought to forgive than to forgive others. It's a whole lot easier to praise God with the lips than to praise God with the heart. And it's a whole lot easier to give up outward sins and habits than it is to give up pride, hatred, anger, malice, jealousy, covetousness, these things that thrive in the heart that can't be seen by anyone but God. Now, we can cover that up pretty good. I'll tell you the reason that outward form is a whole lot easier than inward heart worship. The reason it's easier is because heart worship and heart faith is unseen by men, unrecognized by men, and unrewarded by men. Well, preacher, how will people know I give if I don't tell them? Preacher, how will people know that I pray and fast if I don't tell them? How will people know I'm holy if I don't tell them? How will people know I'm humble if I don't tell them? Now, these things are to be done as unto the Lord. And I'll tell you this. You can't hide the grace of God any more than you can hide a river in the desert or a 100-watt bulb in a dark room. If God's grace is in your heart, it'll shed forth and it'll shine forth and it'll give forth. But it's as unto the Lord, whether anybody knows it or not. If our hearts are right with God, all will be right. Well, how does a right heart receive? Four things. Number one, by the grace of God, he said, I'll give you a new heart. And when David prayed in Psalm 51, he said, Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. My friend, if you want a heart right with God, pray for it. Seek the Lord. A new heart is God's work. Secondly, it's by the merits and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our Lord died for our sins, and he dwells within us. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And right attitude is not us, it's Christ that dwells in us. and works of righteousness are not our works, but his works, who dwells within us. And then we receive it by the Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. We serve God in the Spirit. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The Holy Spirit is the regenerating agent. He's the one that gives the new heart. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And then I'll tell you something else. The way to receive a new heart is to take up your abode at the cross and live there. You want to learn how to love? Go to the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You want to learn how to give? Go to the cross and stay there. Christ gave himself. You want to know how to forgive people? Go to the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. You want the key to humility? Go to the cross. You want the key to gratitude and submission? Go to the cross. That's where you get a new heart, at Calvary.